Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather and worship you and to dive into your word that is living and breathing and active and that gives us faith through your Holy Spirit working faith in our hearts through the mighty power of your word. Father, do another awesome work in our hearts and minds today through your word. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. No matter where you've lived in your life, at some point you've probably had a drought there. It maybe was one of those where you had to water your yard on a different day than what you would want to, or you were having trouble with your garden or whatever crops maybe that your family had if you were in a farming family. And I heard this story about a drought one summer that threatened this small town that was full of farmers. On a hot and dry Sunday, the pastor of this community told the congregation, "Well, in regards to the drought, there's really nothing we can do except pray for rain. That's it. So go home, pray and believe, and come back next Sunday ready to thank God for sending rain." So the people did this, and everybody in the church returned the next Sunday. But as soon as the pastor saw the people, he was mad. He said, "We can't worship today. You do not yet believe." And they're like, "Well, what are you talking about? We prayed. I mean, we're here. What do you mean we don't believe?" He responded, "If you believe, where are your umbrellas?" An umbrella faith. Where are your umbrellas? See, the pastor was reminding the people, look, if you believe, then your faith needed to be seen by the fact that they had their umbrellas with them. That you knew that if you were praying for rain, you were expecting it so much so that you brought your umbrella with you. It's faith in action. The gospel lesson from Mark this morning talks about two parables. Just eight verses talk about these two parables. And it speaks about that kind of faith and trust in God. An umbrella faith, if you will. Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom grows. And it grows with faith, an unwavering faith that you and I perhaps may not always see and may not always understand. So the first parable, Jesus tells a story about a farmer or gardener who scattered seed on the ground. And instead of worrying about the seeds and trying to control the situation, the seeds just grow and sprout, no thanks to the farmer or the gardener who scattered the seed. And so you're going to see on our screens here some of these points about this parable. It's just a few verses from 26 to 29 of Mark 4. And if you have your Bibles with you, I really encourage you to open them or to look on the back of your bulletin or somewhere you could write notes, because I'm kind of going to give you a real quick summary of this parable and what each thing means. And really, I encourage you maybe in your devotion time this week to check out Mark 4 and kind of really look at it in a more detailed way. But here's what it's saying. If we could see that first point, the man in this parable, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. That man is Jesus in this parable. And then the seed that's being scattered is not just literal seed, but it's the word of God. And then the next point, point three, is it's the good ground and earth. So the good ground and earth, the ground, is those living under God's reign and rule. That that they are there in that place. And then the next one, the sleeping and rising of the man who does not work the land, and the seed sprouting on its own. So it says this, the guy sleeps and rises night and day, the seed sprouts and grows, he knows not how. He's not like researching it and really watching everything. He just kind of, he said it and forget it, you know, kind of a way. He just threw the seed and he walks away. And so that's the powerful action of the word of God working without human assistance. That's just God working on his own. And so the next point is the soil with the seed in it producing the fruit. It's producing, it's showing the reign and rule of God is being implemented into the lives of followers of Jesus. Who's doing the work? It's Jesus himself. He's working in our hearts and minds as followers of Jesus. And the next one, the blade, then the ear, then the full grain. That's in verse 28. It's talking about just maturity and growth. So God's working. He's putting faith in the hearts of people, and he's working maturity and growth. He's making them through the power of the Holy Spirit, through faith, to be more and more like himself, like Christ. And so the next one here, the harvest being ready. That's the full goal in God's plan being reached. Like, God is in control. He has a plan, and he's always successful at his plan. No matter how much we try to control or to try to intercept it or try to control, he's in control. And then the next one, the sickle is simply judgment, because he says he puts the sickle in verse 29 because the harvest has come. So there'll be a judgment. So look at that a little bit more this week. But the overall message in this parable is the ministry of Jesus in his preaching and teaching. When he came onto this earth, he brings about the rule and reign of God in a way that is simple and mysterious. Yet it also leads to us growing in our faith and reliance and obedience to him, because he's working in our lives. He's the one at work in us. It's not something we're doing. So, if you look at it from a sense of being a farmer or gardener, or if you love grass and you love just seeing your yard just sprout up, and when it's like carpet, man, that's pretty awesome. No matter how much we worry about that grass, though, or seeds, or plants, or trees, how much you try to make them grow and fertilize them, no matter how much you pace the floor, how you do research on irrigation solutions or water retention systems, or how you keep gophers out of your yard, or how you keep crabgrass and monkey grass and all this stuff out of your yard, it doesn't matter. No matter how much you complain about it being wet or dry or windy or too much rain or too little rain, in the end, it's not really up to us. You can research until you're blue in the face on YouTube how to grow this particular type of tomato in this type of soil with this pH balance in the part of Knoxville that you reside in, and you could do everything that they say, and that bad boy still may not grow. And what this is saying is, in life, that's kind of the way it is too. God must do what he's going to do, and he's in control. And no matter how hard we try, he's the one driving. Now, I know in talking with you, you are trying so hard in life to live as followers of Christ. You are striving and you're working. And man, if y'all are gardeners or farmers and you're trying to plant, you're working hard. I know you are. And so sometimes for us to hear a message like this, it's hard for us to surrender control. and to say, wait, I'm not driving? And in doing that, when we, even though we know we're not driving, when we still try to control everything in life, we end up pretty miserable to be around, and we're pretty miserable for ourselves as well. We become a grouch, so others tend to avoid us. And so what Jesus is saying is that we surrender to the rule or reign of God and his kingdom. And it's God's power, not man's power, on which the kingdom depends. And here's the thing. That should free us of a giant burden. That if it's not up to us, if people know Jesus or not, that we can plant, we can throw the seed out, we can share the gospel, but it's not up to us. We are not in control of that. That releases a giant burden from you and me. For us just to go out freely and share the good news of Jesus, knowing that whatever will be, will be. The Holy Spirit is going to work. And if the Holy Spirit chooses not to work or the person rejects the Holy Spirit, that's not on us. So we can just live the life Jesus has given us. It should empower us. It should free us. That's an awesome thing. See, we don't bring God's kingdom. He does. We don't rule. He does. The kingdom of God is not a product of human effort. Now notice that the man scattering the seed in this story, he has an important role. The scattering of the seed, right? But after all of that, it was all God of giving him the seed. Who created the seed? Who gave him the wisdom on where to scatter the seed? Who prompted him to scatter the seed? It was all because of God. And isn't it awesome when, have you ever had those moments where the Holy Spirit prompts you to like go talk to somebody or go pray with somebody or encourage someone, write a note, give them a phone call, and somebody says this. This was perfect timing. I needed to hear from you. I was going through this horrible situation and it was so perfect for you to call at just the right time or for you to send that note or those kind of things. It's amazing how God sets that up. He's driving. Isaiah 55 verse 8 tells us this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Translation, I'm in control and you're not. I'm driving. So we have faith that's created in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the word of God. God is the ruler of the kingdom. God is working even when we can't see him or feel him. Did you hear the song we sang, Waymaker? Listen to what it says. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. That is so true. God is working even when we don't see it or feel it. Even when we lost sight of him, even when we see or hear no answer from him, we have faith that he's still ruling, that he's still in charge. See, umbrella faith is a faith that believes God's in control all the time. I heard a story about a pastor who had a young woman come in to talk with him as she was dealing with some real tough personal situations. And she knew she had to do something that was extremely difficult for her to do. And so the pastor assured her that God would help her through her time of trial. As pastors, we like to encourage you with the word of God and try to show you like Jesus is with you no matter what. But sometimes when you're in the midst of a situation that's tough, that's the last thing you want to hear. You want it fixed. And so this lady with a sneer instantly, as the pastor told her that, said, look, pastor, you know I've been faithful to God, but the first time I really need him, he's nowhere to be found. I've prayed, but I get no answer. I ask for help, nothing. And as a result, I know what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to take care of this myself. In all of this difficulty, I don't even know whether God exists or not. I searched him and for him and I can't find him. And maybe at times in your life, at some point, you felt that way. Maybe there's somebody that feels that way here today. Many of us at times have wondered or perhaps questioned if God was real. And we research and we check out scripture and we're really struggling to look at things. And you know what? In those dark hours, when you're trying to have your questions answered and you're searching for the answers in God's word, in those dark hours, there are times where God works and you come to a vital, lasting relationship with God in those times of questioning, either in those times of struggle. When we thought we had lost him in the pain and frustration of life, friends, that's when in those circumstances, he ends up showing up. When we see that God has been there with us through it all, even when we don't see it, you're working. Even when we don't feel it, you're working. An author by the name of Mark Tabb, he writes this: God tells us to trust him enough to believe that he knows what he's doing. When his actions don't make sense, you trust him. When the windows of heaven seem to be open extra wide and life can't get any better, you trust him. When the bottom falls out and life turns hard, you trust him. Good times and bad, happy and sad, you trust him. What will God do? Tab writes. I have no idea, but I know this. He isn't making things up on the fly. He knows what he's doing. I must trust him to trust my life to him, even when I would rather not. That's umbrella faith. So in the second parable, Jesus tells us God's kingdom will grow like a mustard seed. Just real briefly, what this parable is saying is that although the kingdom of God to you and me may look small, it may look like a mustard seed, which is, if you ever seen mustard seeds, they're little teeny tiny little seeds, right? But he reassures us over time, in his time, the kingdom of God will grow large. We must not be discouraged because God's in charge of the growing. So I know you may look at this world and you may say, man, there's not as many Christians around as there used to be. I mean, followers of Jesus seem to be falling off. And you know, maybe you may think, man, this world has gone to hell in a handbasket. That Jesus is still driving, friends. Even when people don't know Jesus as Savior, he's still driving. He's still sharing his hope and joy in this world. And you know how he's doing it? Through you. Through me. He gives us grace and mercy, and it overflows. We have more grace and mercy than we can use. And he wants us to share it with those around us in our circles of influence. Because he's still at work. And we got to tell people about the hope and joy of Jesus Christ. Every day matters. Every day is vital. If people don't know him as Savior, they won't live. They'll live forever, but without Jesus, separated from Jesus, separated from God. Now, it's not on us, right? But it is on us to be obedient to the call that Jesus has given us. Very clearly in his word, to go and make disciples, to share that hope and joy. Now, if people believe or not, that's not on us. So we can just be free to tell people. And whatever happens, happens. That's up to God. When the Golden Gate Bridge was being built in San Francisco, a number of workers lost their lives by falling from precariously high positions. And as a result, the work was really slow because the workers were afraid of falling. And so they were very careful. And then all of a sudden, somebody had the idea to build a net under the construction area. So if the workers fell, they would be saved. They would be saved from this precariously high position that they were on. This net cost $100,000. But it's the first time that something like this had ever been used at a construction site. So with the security of the net below, the men working on the Golden Gate Bridge were able to move at a faster pace because they knew, hey, if I slip and fall, the net's going to save me. My life would be spared. So with the security of the net, they could face the uncertainty. And friends, we may not be able to see the net that's below us, but it's there. Our security comes from having an all-knowing, all-loving God who's with us every step of the way. The kingdom of God is growing and moving, not based on our plans or on our timing, but on the plans and timing of God. It's an umbrella faith. So we have security knowing that our safety net, if we precariously fall from these positions, is Jesus. He's our hope. He's our joy. Now, Grandma, when planting a seed in the earth, as she dug down, she put a seed into the ground. She would cover that seed up, put her hand in the sign of the cross, and whisper, "God bless you. Now grow." Friends, may Jesus bless you as you connect with Jesus and others, as you grow in faith and dependence on Jesus, and as you serve Jesus and his people with the hope and joy of Jesus that you have. Amen. Please rise.